Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your hosts for this weekend show. Also your hosts on our website, podcast, YouTube channel, and Substack account. Just search the KE Report, and that's where you can find all our daily editorials and company updates from throughout the week, as well as the full weekend show, because for all of you listening on the radio, we do have to cut down these segments for the radio, but all of you listening on our website, podcast, and YouTube, this is the full weekend show for you. Front half of the show, we're going to be looking at markets more broadly and covering an upcoming conference that Chad and I are both going to, a Money Show conference in Las Vegas, February 23rd to 25th. Back half of the show, a focus on mostly precious metal stocks, but we're also going to be diving into a little bit some of the other commodity and metal stocks, all of which are performing well, but I think you're going to be interested to hear what we think about some of the reactions and ratios that we're seeing from underlying metals compared to the stocks. Let's get into the first half of this show with Mike Larson. Mike is the editor-in-chief at Money Show. And Chad and I are going to our first Money Show down in Las Vegas, February 23rd to 25th at the Paris Hotel. Mike, I'm personally very excited to go to this conference. It's been a while since I've been excited to get to a conference. We go to a lot of conferences, but a lot of the ones are ones that I've been to and very much focused on resource investing. Even though investing in resources right now and in the last couple of years has been great, Money Show is, from my understanding, more general. Let's talk about what we should expect when we attend and how people can sign up to go there, please.
Yeah, absolutely, Corey. Thanks for having me on the show. You know, Money Show in Las Vegas and the events we do around the country all year long, you're right, we're not metals focused. We tend to sort of, you know, I guess it's appropriate since we're talking about Vegas, we try and give people a buffet or smorgasbord of education. So it's going to cover, you know, their income stocks, their growth stocks, sectors like mining, but also AI, financials, industrials. You know, we're going to have people speaking on financial planning. We're going to have people speaking on, you know, tax planning. We have people speaking on all kinds of crypto and all kinds of other asset classes and investing approaches, as well as a lot of trading educators. I mean, the Vegas audience, we tend to sort of tilt a little more trading oriented versus some of the other conferences that tend to have more a little bit more of a long-term investor type audience. So we cater to that. We've got live trading demonstrations. We've got sort of these deep dive 2-hour Money Masters trading courses. We've got all kinds of things that are basically designed to give you ideas, to help you round out your portfolio and educate you on everything or every asset class you either already own or maybe you should think about owning. So, you know, that is how we differ. Obviously, you know, we're happy that you're going to be there to you know, do some of your work on site there, maybe interview some guests and so on for your show. And that's part of the extras that we throw in. We do a podcaster's corner where people can, you know, watch live interviews going on. We've got themed receptions. We've got a poker night if that's your thing and you want to kind of match wits and try and bluff your way to the top of the pot against some, you know, fellow attendees and speakers. It's designed to be a lot of fun. It's designed to cover a lot of ground. And we're just really excited about this February's event.
Well, Mike, you have a couple events per year in different cities. I know you do some in Orlando and other cities as well. Out of all the speakers that you've heard in 2025, let's just look back at last year and then project forward into this year. Are there any themes that really caught fire last year that may surprise people listening or at least reinforce where their trading is? Or is there any themes coming into 2026 from all the different speakers that you think are getting a disproportionate amount of interest right now from investors?
You know, I think that tech, AI related stocks and companies and stocks that sell into that sector or that are serving that sector, whether it's utilities, grid operators, companies that service and sell materials and services into all these data centers that are being built around the country, that's been a hot topic. It's in the news. The sort of the volume on the you know, bull, bear, bubble kind of debate in that sector has really amped up. So people are looking for answers on that, and we try and, you know, give them the best information our experts can. And as you would expect, a lot of the picks in that sector that people have given in previous years have done very well. Naturally, given what we're talking about, what we're seeing in the mining sector or the metal sector, goodness, I mean, it's been an incredible already 2026 in that space. And certainly 2025 was a phenomenal year in the resource sector. So, people have been very much paying attention to what's going on there. It took a while for that to ramp up, which, it's interesting. As the sector started to move, there was still probably more interest, especially from some of our younger attendees in crypto, but now people are noticing. You can't not notice what's happening in the metal sector. So there's more information or more attention being paid there. I think there's always the kind of background steady Eddie type stuff that's popular. It's the high yield plays, BDCs, and some of those companies got hit pretty hard last year. But I know a lot of income oriented, and especially some of the older attendees that are looking for that type of guidance and that type of knowledge. Those picks and the people who speak on them are always sort of well followed, and people are paying attention. So those are a few of the themes that I'd note. And it just and again, it's interesting, and we obviously try to cater to what's going on in the market and what people are interested in by, shading the program in certain directions, having more metals people and speakers when metals are hot, having more people speaking on AI or crypto when that's hot. But, we do try and, kind of keep in the background that we're serving generalist investors, especially at the show in Vegas in February and the Orlando big show that we have in October, and make sure we're doing a little something for everybody.
So, like these days, when you go to these conferences, there's so many speakers, different stages, different areas for people to spend their time at. And these days, in all fairness, they can get a little bit long for people listening to all these talks and trying to take in all that information. What do you recommend people do to plan their day at this show to make sure that they are getting the most out of it, but also make sure that they're getting a balanced perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. A few weeks before the show, we'll have a final program that we put out. It's a PDF document that's available online. We send it out via email to everybody who's registered and say, hey, here's your final program. And it's all, you want to make this fun. You don't want to make it be like a final exam, but I always kind of joke, you might want to study up a little bit, see who's speaking, when they're speaking, where they're speaking, and kind of use that. You can print it out at home and use it as a matrix. We do also have a Money Show app. If you're more technologically inclined and you don't want to have all that paper, no worries. You can search every speaker in the app and it'll show you where they're speaking in terms of which conference room, what day, what time. You can have conversations with other attendees there. We'll do push notifications. Invariably with a conference this big, somebody's flight gets delayed or somebody has a personal emergency that comes up and they may not be able to speak. So, that's where we push out notifications about that too. So I always say, if you want to go with the PDF, you can do that. We will have some brochures on site that allow you to kind of circle the types of things you want to go to. Or again, you want to save a tree and be in 2026, like a lot of people doing things online. You've got the app right on your phone. It's a great way to keep track of what's going on and what you want to see.
Mike, I'm curious, in light of all of the flux of news that we get on a daily basis, it's really hard to keep up with it all, but a lot of it does move the market. We were joking last year that we'd be trading by tweet, and that's really not far from the truth. We are seeing executive orders on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that do move the markets. We're seeing the government invest directly into companies. We're seeing the government go into Venezuela and remove the president. We're seeing all kinds of different threads with the mortgage industry as far as, changing who can buy houses and what may happen to mortgage rates. How much does all the macro news flow play into some of the investment themes?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we're what, only 2 weeks into the 2026, and a little less if you only include trading days. And it has been a roller coaster ride already. Even last year, a lot of left field type stuff was thrown at the markets. We all know about Liberation Day and the kind of blink and you miss it mini, not crash, but deep correction that we had that was almost as over as fast as it started. I end up revising. I always do a set of opening remarks and some charts on, when we kick off the event on stage and just try and set the stage for the event. And there's been times when I have to change my PowerPoint the night before, or at least apologize for something that might be outdated on a PowerPoint in my verbal remarks. And I feel like that definitely could be a challenge for this year, for this event. I think the important thing really is know what kind of investor or trader you are, and follow the people at the conference whose guidance and education is most applicable to that. By that, I mean, if you're somebody who day trades for a living or swing trades for 2 week periods at a time, you don't really care what somebody says about owning Berkshire Hathaway for 10 years. You want some guidance from experts who can help you use short-term technical signals, trailing stops, whatever your precise tools are to essentially navigate those short, sharp, volatile moves. If you're more long-term oriented, there's going to be people that are going to be speaking, from stage on how to take advantage of pullbacks, ignore the news, focus on the long term, use the bargains created by those sell-offs as opportunities to get in and so forth. So, I just say know yourself as an attendee, know what you are best at and what you want to get better at, and focus on those kinds of things. Because again, invariably, this is a market had a lot thrown at it last year. And what happened? We ended up with a gain of about 16% in the S&P after 2 years where the S&P was up about 24%. I think, and a lot of our speakers have talked about this, that this is going to be a more volatile year. This is going to be one that I don't think you can really kind of count on those big gains, especially with midterm elections and other things going on, questions about the Fed, the geopolitics you mentioned. I wouldn't be surprised if at least the first quarter, if not the first half of the year, are pretty darn choppy, and it's not just going to be a sort of steady up into the right type of move for the broad markets.
So just personally for me, Mike, I'm going to this show. I want to get some investing ideas, maybe not so much trading ideas. I just don't have time to short-term trade. But I'm also going to be looking for new guests to bring on the show. Not on the metals side. We have a lot of metals guests, and we're going to be there talking metals at the money show. But more on the generalist side. People that have a good handle on where the markets are going and not so sector specific. How much time am I going to be able to get with them? Are these people walking around? I've already had some speakers reach out to me personally, so I'm trying to set up some meetings there. But in terms of access to the speakers and any speakers that you really recommend that you think are good generalist speakers that aren't too isolated into one or two sectors, give me the outline of what I should be expecting and who I should be targeting.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we try and when we get together as a group and try and program these events months in advance, we know people want to, hear from the keynote stages. They want to hear panel discussions and so on, but they don't want to just have, watch somebody talk on stage and then they get whisked away in a limousine and you never see them at the conference. And I'm pleased that the types of speakers we bring in, are also completely willing to answer questions after their addresses. There are multiple things like coffee breaks and exhibit hall breaks built into the program. There are some of these segments, interview segments, podcast segments, meet and greets, book signings, all that kind of stuff is built into the program. So you're not just hearing somebody talk at you from stage for 20 or 30 minutes. You're getting to ask them questions after. If you don't have time to ask in the main room, you're getting a signed copy of their books. You're going to do meet and greets, watch them do interviews. I mean, we're pleased that the speakers we bring, and we try to bring those that really are open to try and help educate, all around and throughout the event. You look at some of the big picture speakers that we have for this event. You've got a Jim Bianco with Bianco Research, who's really good on economics, big picture, interest rate trends, things like that. You've got some of our commodity specialists like a Carly Garner, who's trading oriented, but knows pretty much, or has insights into trading oil, gold, silver, you name it. So she's going to be there. You've got some of the sort of big picture sector people that are always very popular, like Dan Ives with Wedbush. He's big into technology. He's been a big proponent about the AI revolution and ways you can profit from that. And obviously, at some point, maybe the boom ends, but he's been very right for a very long time on that score. So he's worth listening to. We have some crypto-oriented people. Andrew McCormick with eToro, for example, who's going to be talking about digital assets. We have a pre-show event on Sunday that's sort of like a mini kickoff to the event. It's a couple hours of presentations on crypto, AI stocks, tech trends, and so on. So those are people that are I think, I'd highlight. And there's also, we have Dave Nadig, a very well-known ETF expert. He's going to be talking about some of the trends in that part of the market. And finally, Jason Schenker, first-time speaker in Vegas. He's the president of Prestige Economics. As his title suggests, he's very big into the macro picture, but he's also very much an economic futurist. He's been big and written, many, many books on what's going on in AI. He's very well versed in geopolitics. So he's going to do a good job of setting the stage, no pun intended, about the big picture. What's happening in geopolitics that you need to pay attention to and what it might mean for markets. What's happening in driving AI. And we had we're going to drop a podcast episode on Thursday with my brief interview to set the stage with him. And he's very much talking about, how AI will evolve, but kind of has a couple of interesting comparisons to AI will eventually become what Excel and learning how to use spreadsheets was to a previous generation of people who had to learn how to adopt that as technology. So some interesting, speakers who bring different perspectives, but those are a few of the ones that I'd throw out there and say you probably don't want to miss.
Well, Mike, in addition to all of the speakers and information sharing, I always find that at a conference, the health of the attendees makes up a big part of the takeaways. Some of the best investing ideas I ever get at conferences are from other investors, other attendees. Maybe talk about the caliber of people that show up to these events and about how many people are there and what kind of a crowd it attracts.
Yeah, absolutely. We do two of what I call big shows, which are sort of the traditional money shows slash Traders Expo program. This is one of them, the Vegas one in February. There's another one, as I mentioned earlier, that's in Orlando in October. We also have a series of symposium events, which are sort of smaller, 300 to 500 people attendees in smaller cities or different cities where we don't really host these big shows at. That would be the symposium in Dallas and Hollywood, Florida, San Francisco, and so on. This event is going to be big. You'll have more than 1,000 people through the door in terms of attendees, speakers, sponsors, everybody, exhibitors, everybody that's involved, media, and so on. And I always, and again, it's easy for me to say because I worked for the company, but even before I officially joined Money Show and I attended and spoke at Money Show events, always very impressed with the caliber and the education and the knowledge and the thirst for knowledge of the people that I would meet and just spark up conversations with. You meet business owners, retirees. I always remember one conversation I had many years ago in Dallas. Man, was in the oil and gas business, had a private oil and gas company, sold it, had a liquidity event, and had like $100 million that he would, a large chunk of that was handled by his financial advisor. He was looking for ideas to, what to do with the money that he controlled himself. And it's people like that you'll meet, you'll cross paths with. You'll get to network with. I mean, you'll make business connections if you're looking, if you're a business owner and you're looking to sort of build that network. If you're just a personal investor that's there to, again, find something to do with the part of your portfolio that you control yourself, you'll have great conversations and you'll get new ideas that way. So I'd like to think that we cast a wide net, especially at events like this big show one. And I really do think for your listeners, if you haven't been to an event, if you haven't been to a money show, this is a great place to start, see what it's about. At these big shows, unlike the symposiums, we do have a free element. You can get a free pass to the exhibit hall, so you can kind of kick the tires. If you want to go to keynotes, workshops, things like that, you will have to pay. But it does give you an opportunity to just sort of, again, kick the tires, walk around, see the sponsor and exhibitor booths, and see if maybe, getting something that gives you more access is what you're ultimately looking for.
Well, I'm looking forward to the show, and I'll post a link in the show notes so everyone listening can find out a little bit more information. And hey, send Chad and I questions if you want to know anything more about the show. And if you are going to be there, even better, send us those details and we'll be sure to take some time, meet up with you. We will be set up and attending every day at this show, chatting with all the speakers and everybody else who's in attendance. I'm really looking forward to it. Mike, let's move now over to the markets, and I want to focus on something that Money Show puts out every year, and that's the top picks. Can you explain what this report is, what the idea is, and what makes up this report?
Yeah, every year, late in each calendar year, I'll reach out to dozens of our, people who speak at our events, those who have newsletters that I digest their work for, contributors that have, either been with us for years or in some cases are very new, but we really respect their work. And I'll reach out and I'll just say, hey, listen, every January we publish our top picks report. We've been doing it for a couple of decades now. And the idea is give me one more aggressive pick that's sort of, growth oriented and one more defensive income oriented type pick. A couple hundred words on each and, join the report. There's always, there's some people that contribute every year. There's some who maybe in one year, but not another. There's some that are specialists in a sector, whether it's mining or biotechnology or energy. And there are some that are generalists and big picture type thinkers. So I like to kind of have a, just like the conferences bring sort of a smorgasbord of speakers, this report has a smorgasbord of picks from people with specialties all across the markets and whether it's market cap, whether it's style, whether it's industry and what have you. And we send it out. We give it out for free at the beginning of the year to anybody who signs up. And look, this is a great starting point for picks that you may not hear about elsewhere. It's not designed to be a true portfolio where if you're trying to match the S&P, you're always going to own a certain percentage of Nvidia and Meta and Microsoft and so on. This is a mix of picks that range from microcap gold miners and explorers on up to mega cap tech names. If you look at the top performers of the 2025 picks, it was not surprisingly almost all medals and a few special situations. And Avino Silver and Gold Mines ended up having the best track record, up 567% as I tracked it. You had other things like Heliostar medals and United States Antimony that did very well. That's just a sampling. In 2026, the report that just dropped last week, we've got 68 picks from 39 different contributors. So, you know, you're getting people that are specialists in metals, specialists in income stocks, specialists in energy, as well as generalists and so on. And, you know, it's always interesting to see what works best. It's always interesting as a reader, and I get this feedback. People like the fact they can, you know, get a bunch of new ideas. They're not just going to go out and buy all 68, you know, and 100 shares of each and then just ignore them all year long, but they're going to use this as a starting point for their research. They may get some individual ideas that they like. They'll do their own research and they'll add them to get a little bit of spice to their portfolio, or see what it is that really attracted the contributor to those names.
Well, Mike, it's interesting to hear how the metals did last year, and we're familiar with some of those companies and have those companies on our show. So nice to hear that they were in some of the top ranks. I know it's very early on, extremely early on in the year, but a lot of people give a lot of weight to how the markets kick off in January, even the first week of January, the so-called January effect. Any sneak preview you can tell us about the themes that are taking off the fastest so far in 2026?
Yeah, it's funny because it's not even just 2026. The report dropped on January 7th. So to be fair, for my tracking purposes, I set up the portfolio on the using the closing price of the day the report is released, which again was only a week ago. But, you know, not surprisingly, given what's happening in the defense industry in terms of geopolitics, the top performing stock so far is one of these drone companies called Red Cat Holdings, already up something like 23% in a week. Again, these sort of unique defense names, drone companies, people are interested for obvious reasons. There's a couple of the junior miners that are doing very well, even a big fund like PSLV, which just holds silver. Those are a few things that, again, given what's happening in metals and mining, are doing well. But we did have a couple other picks there. There's one Wildan Group, WLDN. It's an AI type name that's in there, that's in, you know, the top 10 this very early point. And surprisingly enough, a couple of the dividend or smaller plays are doing well. Philip Morris, Hormel Food, some of that defensive type stuff is actually out of the bat doing okay. So, you know, it just goes to show that you never know what's going to happen at the end of the year. Obviously, I always do a look back at sort of the midway point of the year to see how things are doing, and I'll do a follow-up based on that. And then I'll circle back with the editors who contributed the best picks for the whole year and just ask what their updated thoughts are before the calendar flips. But so far, those are the types of things that are doing well. And again, I think it's kind of obvious what's driving metals. And then some of these other names are just sort of special situations or people looking for maybe income and going down the cap spectrum a little bit. You've seen small caps, mid caps doing a little better. And some of our top speakers have said it's those SMID names, to use the jargon, that potentially are, you know, going to be where you want to be this year.
What's your outlook for this year then, Mike? Because it seems like everything's off to a very fast start this year. And there's just been just a slew of news out of the U.S. on so many different fronts. It's crazy to even try to recap it all. And we're only in, as we're recording this, the 14th day of the month. What is your outlook for this year? What's going to keep running? Where do you see some risks out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been, as a generalist, I've been bullish on metals going all the way back to the second half of 2018. And, you know, for a while there, it was sort of like waiting for Godot. Obviously, it's not anymore. That sector is supercharged. I still like it. But, you know, as the moves get bigger and the intraday and intraweek and, you know, full year moves get bigger, you do have to be careful about not going overboard and adding exposure here. I still do think there's some opportunities in some of these beaten down or underloved sectors, things like REITs, you know, some of the high yield plays like BDCs, which got thrown out. I think some of the credit worries there might be overdone and the market might have already priced them in. I think overall that be bold thesis that I've talked about, which is essentially, you know, offensive investing versus defense, tilting towards offensive sectors and stocks versus, you know, I've been on that train in 2023 and it's worked out very. I'm still there, but I do think, especially whether it's the first quarter, I still think volatility is going to be the name of the game. I don't think it's going to be the sort of steady up into the right type march that we've gotten used to. And that's for a number of reasons. I mean, you know, Shad alluded to the geopolitics, that those headlines are, you know, going to be coming out all the time. We've got questions about the Fed and Fed policy. How much are they going to cut and when? The midterm elections and what that implications are for policy. Will the Trump administration continue to get what it wants, or is it going to, are we going to see more pushback? And as it looks like, if the midterms are going to go the Democrats' way versus Republicans, there's all kinds of questions that are going to be dealt with and uncertainty. And I think that, that is going to, particularly in the first half of the year, give us a little more unsettled trading. So be ready for it.
All right, there you go. Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at Money Show. As I said, everyone, I hope you can join us down at the conference in Las Vegas at the Paris Hotel, February 23rd to 25th. Send us any questions. Reach out to Money Show representatives and sign up if you can be in the area, because Shad and I will both be there and very much looking forward to it and very much looking forward to seeing how this year plays out. So, Mike, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend show. Looking forward to seeing you soon in Vegas. And everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back, shifting our focus pretty much exclusively to the metals and stock sector.
Thanks, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.